You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Did you like the Winter Wonderland there in Jesus Slap to close the hour?
It was good. I wasn't sure if you would go all in on the rhyming, like if that much effort was put in, but what was the whatever rhymed with idiot in the second verse was particularly good. But he's an idiot.
Well, I was going to say, but you keep running it, you big piece of, and then I was going to not say anything.
Yeah.
I figured I'd just go with idiot instead.
No, that was good. Enjoyed it. Enjoyed it very much. So we've already done Adele and Winter Wonderland in the first hour of the show. Excellent. Love Adele and Winter Wonderland. Also love when Nick drops on Clean Feet or on Quick Link. Nick, you back? You want to intro Scal? You want me to do it? It's up to you.
Yeah, so let's do it. So we'll bring Brian Scalabrine here. If I end up dropping off, Ken will handle the interview with Scal, and we'll get my internet situation, my Quick Link situation squared away. But joining us now to start off the hour number two here on this terrific Tuesday, You Better You Bet, on the brilliant BetQL Network, Odyssey Sports NBA Insider, the great Brian Scalabrine, who joins us here on the Roman guest line. Scal, welcome back to the show. It's Nick and Ken. How you doing?
I'm doing well. You guys get pumped up for Celtic Lakers like I do?
I mean, I won't speak for Nick. I generally don't. Like, I know it's obviously a longstanding rivalry just in terms of, like, the history of the teams. But, like, I'm guessing because you say that, Scal, and Matt, we'll just turn this into a question. Like, I'm guessing you're very fired up for Celtics-Lakers. Is that true?
Yeah, I just think it's different. Like, I've been a part of those, and there's, like, a certain buzz. And there's – obviously, there's – and the NBA so many times is deal with, you know, the individual player matchup. I rarely think that there's – teams where you're like, people just tune in because, you know, the front side of the jersey. And tonight, where I really think that Philly Celtics would be one of them. Knicks Philly would be another one. And I think people tune in for that. So I'm assuming that people will be, you know, sort of geared up for tonight.
No, it makes sense. I mean, we can start with that game, Scal. Just I'm curious, you know, we only have three games on the slate tonight, but all three are small spread games that can be particularly fun for betting, obviously, you know, as opposed to like Warriors Magic last night where they were favored by 16. Any feel for this game? I believe Jaylen Brown is still listed as questionable, but I haven't checked in the last 10 or 15 minutes. Lakers about a 2.5-point favorite. Any feel for the game tonight with the rivalry kind of back?
Yeah, I mean, you guys know that I don't think the Lakers are a very good basketball team right now. I think they don't have any real impressive wins. When I look at this team, I look at Boston as a team trending in the right direction. Their defense has been great. After the first three games of the season, they've cracked that top five. I think they really do a good job of guarding. I think they share the ball. They just don't make shots. So sometimes the assist numbers aren't as high as they need to be because guys aren't making shots, but the last two games are trending in the right direction. I really like Boston. I think the Lakers right now are a big problem. You can see these guys when you start seeing articles written about we should have signed Alex Caruso in the offseason. Like, you had your chance. You thought you didn't need him. You thought he was overrated. Now you realize you just don't have that many players that are tough like that. And there are a lot of guys that have the name recognition, but they're just guys that for whatever reason don't fit well. And a lot of people thought that about this Laker team. Just, you know, you look at their construction of their roster. LeBron needs high IQ shooting guys who can shoot and guys who can that can defend at a decent level. And they don't have any one of those anymore. So I just don't think this roster fits. And I do think that they're going to look to make some moves eventually. And I do think Boston handles their business tonight at getting 2.5. I mean, I've seen as high as 4. Other places. But,
so, Scal, I'll tell you, Jaylen Brown is out now, so that's why that number has moved. That happened in the last, like, hour or so, I would say. So Jaylen Brown out has sort of predicted a line or has, you know, caused a line move there where the Lakers are going to be favored there.
And that's really interesting because some of the best games that the Celtics have had this year have been without Jaylen Brown in the lineup. Just like their Schroeder has these monster nights. Tatum gets more possessions. It's just like everything kind of seems to fit. I do think they'll be better off long term when Jaylen Brown sort of finds his rhythm and finds the way this team has been playing. But right now the team is rolling. So I would I just like the way that they're playing right now. So I like the Celtics tonight.
Scal, speaking of rolling, and I'm sure you saw, you know, the video clips last night of Curry and everything, the Warriors just keep, they keep doing awesome stuff, honestly. And Nick and I had this conversation in the first segment of the show. You know, Warriors have the best defense in the league. Curry's awesome and everything. But I feel like I'm getting back to the point where if I know that they're playing that night, and this will be way true when they get Klay Thompson back, but if I know that the Warriors are playing that night, it's kind of become like appointment viewing. Like I make it a point to, like, okay, like, let me have the game on a monitor. Like, let me have the game on my iPad or something while I'm kind of walking around or while I'm doing some other stuff in the office, just because you start to get those moments again, like we remember from the Warriors dynasty. And I'm curious, I know some of the pieces are obviously different, even from the pre-Durant team to now. Iguodala was obviously a huge part of the early run. Andrew Bogut was a huge part of the early run. Livingston. And now that's, you know, now it's Andrew Wiggins. Now it's Jordan Poole. Now it's more depth. But just trying to kind of compare those teams, the dynasty run, it could be before Durant got there, and what you see from the Warriors, you know, how are they the same? How are they different?
So I don't think you can compare any team in the NBA to the team with Durant. That was like, that was so unfair on so many levels. And I think those guys were bored of the NBA. I really do. And then, you know, obviously they got hit with the injury bug during the playoffs, and then Klay Thompson goes down during the finals. So, but I think this is a more comparable team to the team they had almost before they made their run, where they were like a really interesting team. Probably the year that they won the championship, and no one thought that they – remember all the pundits were like, hey, you'll never win just shooting three-pointers. You know, and then the whole league changes, and everybody right. shoots threes right now, right? But that was like what everyone said. You got to play inside out, right? But they, but I think that this team reminds me a lot of that. I don't think people are like really surprised at what Steph Curry's doing, but they're yet surprised that he's doing it at this age after he sort of took that dip. And, you know, I think everyone does assume when Klay Thompson comes back, these guys are going to be really good. But, you know, guys, give credit. You know, we hear about organizations all the time, and some of that stuff is a little bit overblown. You know, you hear about Miami and the culture they have. But how about the Warriors? Like, to go to where they were at, to fall all the way down into the dumps, and when they fell into the dumps, it's not like they got, like, this franchise-changing guy that's, like, really moving the needle now. Like, it's Wiseman, and they're doing all this without him. And they're back because they developed Wiggins, and they developed Jordan Poole. And they're getting guys, like, they're getting guys, and they bring back Iguodala for a minimum. And Otto Porter was a great signing. Like, they took guys that people in the NBA have given up on. So I think it's really remarkable that they're back to doing this. I think it's unprecedented. And I think Draymond Green had some interesting comments at the beginning of the year where he said things like, you know, you usually don't win with unproven young players, but, you know, like, we've defied the logic before in the NBA, and why can't we do it again? And he was sort of spot on. Like, they're not supposed to be this good. They're not supposed to be a championship level team, but somehow they are because of the greatness of Steph Curry and the high IQ that they have around them. A very, like, the opposite of the Lakers, when we talk about, like, this is a perfect fit, a perfect roster for what they have. And I'm really curious on how much better they can get as the season goes along.
And Scal, in terms of the Western Conference futures, I mean, we already talked about your opinion on the Lakers a little bit, and certainly the Warriors, who are the favorites to win the Western Conference plus 275 at our show sponsor, Bet Rivers. So Warriors 275, then you have kind of a jumble of teams where at least the market doesn't really know who the second choice is supposed to be. The Suns are one of the teams. I'm going to guess that's most people's answer. But Utah, who obviously has been very good so far this year, the Lakers are still kind of in that mix at, you know, plus 450, 5-1. So maybe it's one of those, Scal. Maybe it's somebody a little further down in the West. Maybe it's Dallas if they can get things figured out. Maybe it's Denver if people come back. You know, like, we never really know, you know, how things are going to shake out. It's such a long season. But if you had to pick a team that you feel like would be the biggest challenge to the Warriors in the Western Conference, or a team, doesn't even have to be a team you want to bet on, but that you feel like in a 7-game series, like, has a chance, is it just Phoenix? Is there someone else out there that's kind of lurking that you would be interested in?
Yeah, I'll do it in order, right? Like, you know, I think Phoenix has the best chance because Phoenix is probably the best. Like, they're so good, above average to good at every single thing across the board. Man, they got perimeter defense, inside defense. at the rim with Aiden and McGee. They have perimeter shooting. They have guys that can drive. They can hit the mid-range. They can post guys up. Like, I don't find a single weakness. They're low turnover, but they pass the ball. I don't find a single weakness in them. But they're not, like, necessarily spectacular at one particular thing where I'm watching it. Like, this thing is going to be really hard to stop. So I like Phoenix from that standpoint. Like, I think that they could, you know, like, mess around with the Warriors. But another team I like is Utah. I don't think they're getting enough credit for how good they are. I think they're better. Now, the only thing, I just don't like their attitudes. Like, I don't like Donovan Mitchell's attitude. Like, he's always, like, feeling like he's upset or getting slighted. I think that's, like, a waste of energy. You can feel that way once in a while. But, like, he walks around like he's being slighted all the time. And I just, like, that gets tiring to me. I think the NBA is, like, there's a lot of ups and downs in the NBA. You can't be worried about what people say or write. You know, like, there's also 10 times the amount of people praising you and how good you are. But, like, I don't know. I'm not down for that unless you're like Michael Jordan and you're like bored with life and you're trying to create like more adversity because you literally don't have any. Like, the Utah Jazz have their own set of adversity they can deal with. But I do like them as a team. I think they have great shooting. I think their offense, you know, they're number one offense in the NBA, just offensive rating. So they're really good. And then Denver is always intriguing to me because Jamal Murray has an exceptional high level. And Jokic is like one of my favorite players. So I could kind of see that team could be, tough as well. But it does kind of seem like it's Phoenix and Golden State right now, with Golden State being the heavy favorite.
You bet on the brilliant BetQL Network. Terrific Tuesday. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, talking NBA with Odyssey Sports NBA insider, the great Brian Scalabrine. Well, Scal, you just mentioned the Denver Nuggets. They go down last night at the hands of the Chicago Bulls. I know you talked about Alex Caruso earlier as a guy the Lakers shouldn't have lost, and I watched the Bulls beat the Knicks last week. My Knicks, Caruso, awesome down the stretch. Great defense, and the Bulls have been amazing this season. Chicago now 17-8, and Scal, I think it's curious that at our show sponsor, Bet Rivers, maybe you don't think it's curious. Chicago's 13-1 to win the East. They are fifth on the odds board behind Brooklyn, behind Milwaukee, behind Miami, and behind the Philadelphia 76ers. Do you think people are kind of underrating the 17-8 Bulls? If the season ended today, Chicago would be the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference.
No, but this is – you remember a couple years ago, Oklahoma City with Billy Donovan? Like, no one really – they were winning games. They had this crazy fourth-quarter net rating, and they had a team very similar to this Bulls team, and no one gave them any credit, and they went to the bubble. They lost to Houston, and it's like, you know, like, no one talked about it again, but – I think this team reminds me of a lot of that team, like a bunch of really good players. But I ended up throwing, like, get this one. I think I parlayed Toronto, who was really good that year with Nick Nurse, and Oklahoma City. And that $100 was going to win me like $30,000. And I was like, I just have to put money on them. And I think you can do the same thing with the Bulls. Like, you can find...
You talked about this on the show when you were on with us. I feel like you talked about that bet. I remember it.
Yeah. I just, like, it doesn't that sound like when both those teams are really good, don't you just got to throw something down? Like, when, like you just said, they're 13-1 to win the East. Like, that's not normal. That's like a value. You don't know if you love it, but if you can parlay that with something out West, like, you just put two on some, like, maybe I like Utah this year. No one's betting Utah because, like, you know, like, but they got inside, they got outside. The one thing that I told you about what bothers me about Donovan Mitchell, but whatever. Let's just say you parlay those two together. I mean, that could be like a pretty penny if those two guys, end up going to the finals. But it also, like, that bet that I made ended up being a waste. I just thought, how could I not put the money down? And I think the same thing about the Bulls. Like, there's got to be some teams out there where I'm looking at the Bulls saying, you know what? I can put some money on this, and it could end up hitting, and it'll be worth it. And I like the team a lot. I do. I love watching. I like Ayu Dosunmu. I like the bench. I like the way that DeRozan has bounced back big time. So I like the team. So I think that I will look at some certain things out there, but there's definitely great value in the Bulls. But never in a million years in my mind can I conceptualize them beating the Milwaukee Bucks full strength. But it doesn't mean that a guy like Giannis can't go down with a sprained ankle or miss some games or whatever happens. But I do think they're better than like Philly and Atlanta. And they can probably on a really good night or if things don't work out for Kyrie Irving and everything like that, they can probably beat Brooklyn. So I think I'm going to start like exploring Bulls and another team in the finals and see what I can do with that.
Yeah, so we'll see about that with the Bulls in the finals. Chicago, again, 13-1 right now to win the Eastern Conference, and our show sponsor, Bet Rivers. So, Scal, I know you talked about the Lakers and the Celtics. That's obviously the big game tonight in the NBA a little earlier. Any thoughts for you on the Nets, 1.5-point favorites in Dallas against the Mavericks, or the Spurs, 1-point home favorites against the Knicks? Any thoughts on those two games tonight in the NBA in about 30 seconds here?
Like all the road teams today, I like them all. I think the Knicks have to be able to beat the Spurs. They match up really well, the things that they do well versus the Spurs. So I like that one, if you just look from a basketball standpoint. And then Brooklyn also pretty good, and I think they'll try to figure it out. So I think Brooklyn should be able to win this road game as well. So today, on this Tuesday, on the slate, I like all the road teams.
All right, road Scal rolling with three road, not road dogs. We got the Nets are currently favored here, and I'm going to be tilting as a Knicks fan big time if they lose again tonight. That would be four straight losses for Tibbs and the Knicks. Scal, we love having you on the show. We really appreciate the insight. Always tremendous here. Enjoy the games tonight, and we will catch up with you next week here on You Better, You Bet.
Sounds good. See ya.
That was our pal Brian Scalabrine joining us on the Roman guest line. Ken, the Knicks lose tonight, and I don't know, man. I feel like
are you betting them 2.5 right now?
Well, I'm seeing plus one right. Someone had something must have happened. Someone had to have been ruled out because I'm literally seeing plus one right now.
Yeah, I know. There was thought that the Spurs were actually going to rest a ton of guys second night of a back to back after they played really well in Phoenix against Phoenix last night. But yeah, we'll have to update injury reports. I kind of like the Spurs actually in that game.
I mean, it's just hard to like the Knicks right now. They look really discombobulated. All right, quick break here on the show. And on the other side, Joey Kanish going to join us to give us NFL picks for this weekend and talk Michigan and Georgia in the college football playoff semi.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.